Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today as we get ready for, I guess as we're coming to you, as we're doing the show, round two of the RBC Heritage. And a lot going online there because there's a lot of speculation about who's going to qualify for the U.S. Open. We're going to get into that and talk about it because there's some guys that you would normally think would be automatically playing. I'm sorry, not the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the next major. But where it's going to head coming up for some of these guys is still a bit uncertain. So we'll talk about that. Also on the leaderboard of the Senior PGA Championship, a major for the senior men taking place in Bradenton, Florida, our good friend Paul Stankowski is playing and got off to his first round start. They'll play four rounds of that as opposed to the normal three on the Champions Tour and whatever else hits our mind. Oh yeah, there's that little thing going on with that LIV golf tournament event, not event, but entire league and how that's playing out. And that's actually where the drama is that we'll be mostly focusing on today. And as always, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Back home. I'm doing good. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Right. Yeah, hanging in there, doing all right. So just,
it's a big news day. I called you yesterday and or day before, whenever it was yesterday. Yeah. It all runs together now that I'm back away from the Masters. The LIV thing is crazy. We'll get into that, I guess, whenever you want to get into it. But yeah. Really crazy. I've got some real heavy opinions about that. And so does Brandel Chambly.
Well, brother. And a lot of people do. So, yeah, here we're into it. Let's do it. So, the word came down a couple of days ago. Again, we're coming to you on Friday, so yes. round number one of the RBC Heritage is complete, and we're coming to you and started round two on Friday. And so a couple of days ago, the word was coming out that the powers that be with LIV Tour were kind of getting together with different people in New York, and the rumor came out that LIV's going to fold, basically, and that's it. It's done. They're over. They're walking away. And you're like, whoa, what? What's going on? Because they had earlier this year, not too long ago, but in 2026, announced that they're fully committed to this season. And yes, they're losing $100 million a year. a month, $100 million a month. But they're okay. They're fine with it. And they're going for. And so they kind of seem like, okay, well, what's the truth about this? And so as it turns out, after that meeting and the rumors were flying, Scott O'Neill, who is the CEO, if you didn't know that, Scott O'Neill, CEO of LIV Golf, came out with an announcement, not only for the general public and everybody, but also for employees, people that work for LIV Golf. Obviously, they're wondering, are we getting a paycheck and all that? That insecurity is the last thing, Frank can speak to this, that a company ever wants, right? You got to show strength as soon as you show, like, and then rats are leaving the ship. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's going,
yeah.
Okay, if LIV's showing any inkling of leaking here, how many people are going to look for new jobs? So that was a scary thing. He had to come out with something. And he said, we are fully committed, full steam ahead, and everything will go full throttle, uninterrupted for this mm-hmm. season. Now, how do you read into that, Frank? Do you read that, okay, we can get through 2026, but after that is going to be uncertain, or we're in this for the long
haul? I don't read anything into it. I mean, he said it, and I've met Yasser before. He's a tough cookie, the head of the public PIF.
Investment fund
yeah.
that they have, yeah. who loves golf, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he loves it.
The big reason that they got into it to begin with, the Saudi family and the royal fund,
yeah.
is because, yeah, he loves golf and wants to be a part of golf.
Yeah, but it hasn't been working. It's worked over there, okay? It hasn't worked in America well. It's never had a fair shot in America based on the fact that the powers that be in this country just absolutely just ripped it apart every chance they got. Golf mm-hmm. Channel, everybody. I mean,
PGA,
everybody. Yeah,
sure.
PGA of America.
Yeah,
everybody was
yeah.
after them.
Yeah.
They just didn't like the whole deal. Blood money, that kind of crap that came out. Well, mm-hmm. the deal is, if you're, I don't know how you lose $100 million a month. I mean, that's just good God almighty. But the bottom line to this whole thing is, they had a meeting in New York. They were all summoned there into New York. I say all the powers that be, not the players. And they were going to shut it. I really believe they were going to say, let's shutter this thing. Let's get through this week and just shutter it and cut our losses. And I believe that probably there was some convincing done that let's finish the season, fund it through the season, give us an opportunity, me, the CEO, to get out there and find investors to take it over. We don't want to just kill it because it's a good product in certain markets. Let's see what we can do with it. And I think that's what happened. I think Yasser, and because he loves golf, said, okay, all right. We can fund it through the year. But after that, the PIF is out. You've got to have your own funding or do with it what you want.
Right.
There are contractual obligations, big ones, that are through this year. So there would have been lawsuits. It would have been a mess. All the tournament buildouts that were already going on, which are weeks ahead of time, months ahead of time, all that would have collapsed. So at least now we know we've got the rest of this year. At least we've been told we have the rest of this year. So yeah. I think that there was some convincing done up there by the CEO and by Yasser that, okay, we can do this. Let's just finish out the year. So there you go.
Let's paint the picture, too, that when this all got started, that the term sports washing became more familiar for people that weren't familiar with it.
Right.
And basically what that was saying was that the Saudi royal family runs the fund, basically funding all professional soccer.
Yeah,
and
everything.
Formula One, and that was sports washing. Well, they did it.
Whoop. Looks like you dropped out there, Bubba. We got a little technical issue with Tim on the other end of the line. Tim, are you there? Come back, Tim. We love you. Don't run. Come back. We'll reconnect with Tim. Give us a minute. You're listening to Golf Talk America. Okay, I think we're back. Tim, do we have you?
Yes. Yeah.
We just had a little. Just that little glitch.
I think though, Frank, it happens every time we talk live, doesn't it?
It does.
Is there a conspiracy thing going on?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Something's happening.
I think that's it. Jim Nance lives close. So,
somebody in Ponte Vedra is dictating our internet connection here.
You think?
So here's a point I was trying to make before we were interrupted. And that is, you've been part of startups, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And there
are IPOs, everything. Yeah.
Yes. And so consider, which the LIB people do consider it a startup, and the uncertainty of any startup, right?
Yeah.
And let's use a company that everybody knows, Tesla, right? As just an example. Tesla, so we're talking about the money that LIB has lost so far, which they're saying is around $5 billion now that they're into this
for
$5 billion, okay? In 2017 and 2019, Tesla was losing roughly $1 billion per quarter.
Yeah.
Okay, that's $1 billion a quarter.
Yeah.
Not $100 million a month. That's $1 billion a quarter, and they had $19 billion in investment.
That's a thousand million. Yeah.
And they had lost close to $9 billion in negative cash flow by 2018. So Tesla now, and the richest man in the world owns them. Owns most of it. And they go up and down like every company does. But I'm just saying they've survived after losing that much money. And you would think, oh my God, how do you bleed that badly and somehow get out of the hospital, right? I mean, you're dead on the floor, but you're not. And so I'm just saying, if you want to use Tesla as a company that was just hemorrhaging money, billions and billions and billions, well, okay, well then LIB is doing better than Tesla was.
Anybody buying those things?
So when people want to panic and say, look at all the money, they're that's what happens with startups. They often lose money before they make money. Now, the thing that gets me, I don't know what the light at the end of the tunnel is for LIB Tour, because I don't know that they will, A, get a huge TV contract. You know, I don't see CBS, ABC, some big network giving them a $1 billion four-year deal kind of thing, right? So they're not going to make money off of that. Sponsors, I guess they've got some. Right. I mean, I just played a couple of days ago in a media day over at Colonial, Charles Schwab, Colonial Invitational over there at Colonial. Well, they're asking, meaning the PGA Tour is asking Schwab and many others, as we know, to up the ante, right? They're paying basically $10 million now for the tournament. Can you double that? Can you, as a sponsor, kick in $20 million so we can pay more to the players?
The players are making plenty of money. They're going to throttle this back.
Yes.
This LIB thing is going to show that they're going to throttle it back. I think the American people, the people who watch this, a lot of people are disgusted with how much money the PGA Tour players make. They're disgusted with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the joke when...
Or athletes in general. I mean, it's
ridiculous.
There's no sympathy. No. It just came out in the baseball that the Dodgers spent $515 million last year to win a World Series. $515 million.
How much are the tickets to go to the game? It's just like college football right now. To go to the Ole Miss Louisville game here in Nashville. It's going to be played here in Nashville. I was going to go. I said, well, I won't go to that, you know, although I'd rather be in Oxford. I'm an Ole Miss graduate, as everybody probably knows. Well, the $280 to sit
before you park
in shitty seats. And I said, wait a minute. I'm going to pay like $600 for two tickets and parking to go to a college football game I used to go to free.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'll watch it
on TV. Somebody will, though, right?
Or I'll listen to it on the radio. I'm not going to do it. It's the principle to me. I mean, both of us have done pretty good in life. We could go do it, but I'm not going to do it. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And NIL is causing a lot of that. So we don't want to get off on that. I'm rolling off. Here I go. You know. You know.
Here I go. I know.
But I'm just saying, banging.
There is no sympathy for anybody for how much they're making. And by the way, as much as people want to rip on Liv, maybe some people do, and certainly PGA Tour players are kind of going, nah. Guess who's benefited from Liv? Guys who stayed on the PGA Tour.
Absolutely.
PGA Tour said,
without a doubt.
Just like my reference to Schwab, they're going to sponsors saying, we need you to bring in more money so that we can put out more money to the players. Boom, 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 right? So that's what's happening. That's the flow of it all. And that's why Liv may have, you like it, don't like it, did it. But to the players, every player, whether you're Liv, PGA, I'm sure European
better
tour,
love Liv for what they've done for
you. There's a lot more money. There's a lot more money out there flowing.
Okay. Yesterday I heard, and it'll go unnamed on another show. They said, well, what's been the fallout from Liv coming in? What's been the real fallout? Who's suffered? And they went through, well, nobody really. I mean, it's just the yin yang back and forth. You know who suffered? There was a major fallout from Liv, and you know who it was?
Who?
Monahan.
Yeah.
It almost killed him. Literally almost killed the man.
He had heart issues.
Yes. Yeah. It almost killed him. He was trying to hold everything together and, I mean, smoking
and
mirrors. Oh, God. Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for Jay. I mean,
I don't know if I felt sorry for him, but he did.
Well, I kind of did. I mean, from a business standpoint.
Remember, he did the merger deal and none of the players knew about it and they got really pissed about it. They were like, okay, wait a minute. You did what? With who? When? Aren't we independent contractors who basically can do our own thing?
Well,
blah, blah,
the
blah.
Players,
Why
the players finally realized
without us,
they didn't have a say in those days. They didn't have a say. Period. Yeah. Go out there, play golf. If you want to make more money, in the words of Tim Fincham, play better. Just play better. You know?
And I think too that some of that is, you know, the downfall or not downfall, but the negative impact of Rory. Congratulations, winning back-to-back Masters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that he was very vocal at first about anti-Liv.
It destroyed his game for a while, too. You see that?
And he had meetings where they would, players-only meetings, and he would be talking, and ripping Liv. Until some people stood up and said, hey, Rory, shut the F up. We don't all fly jets to all our tournaments, and we don't all have $80 million in a bank and blah, blah, blah. We're trying to make a living here. And if Liv is a viable way for us to make a living playing golf, then let some of us make our own decision. Yeah. And they shut him up and they basically made Rory realize that he's a little entitled and he comes across as, you know, like, well, I'm just this poor little innocent guy from Northern Ireland. Well, okay. You've done really well. And during the Masters, you flew your jet up weekly to practice at Augusta. The rest of us can't really do that. Right. So good for you, but the rest of us can't. So don't sit here and pontificate. And that is what got me against Rory to some degree. I'm like, yeah, he was kind of an ass about all that stuff. And he thought he was speaking for all. He's not
speaking
for all golfers.
You were pretty hard on him.
He's in a very different category than pick the Sam Ryder journeyman golfer who's saying, you know,
Sam Ryder's, his family's got a couple of dollars.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to make a living, right? These guys are saying I'm out here. And if I don't, if I get injured, all that, you know, we all know the insecurity of golf and that, you're on your own, basically. And if you have an injury and you've got to sit out for a while, nobody's paying your bills. You don't have a guaranteed contract coming like an NBA, NFL player that you can get rehabbed and everything. You're on your own to get better and then try to come back. And so Liv kind of, and that's the bit of the impetus for Mickelson and everybody else saying, PGA Tour is not giving a damn about us. So we need to look out for ourselves. Ergo, let's start a new league, blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of where it all started from. And I didn't disagree because I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's another way of doing this. But what I want, we all want, let all the guys play together. Figure out a way that I can
see Bryson DeChambeau. Well, that's going to happen now. Yeah.
Yes. I like seeing Brooks Koepka more recently, right? Since he's moved back. I like seeing Brooks Koepka. Now, he isn't dazzled anybody yet, but he's one of those guys that you want to see in a field.
You know what I wanted so badly at the Masters is to see Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy go head-to-head in the final day.
That would have been great.
That would have been great.
That was so set up.
I don't know that McIlroy would have won. I don't know that he would have won the tournament if he had to go head-to-head with Patrick Reed.
Patrick Reed is intimidating.
Yes, he is. That's his game. And by the way, one of the things they talked about the LIV Golf, the PGA Tour thing, LIV Golf tournaments are set up, the courses aren't set up as difficult as PGA Tour events, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, Rahm, what did Rahm do last week? Well, you know, nothing, right? Not much at the Masters. Yeah. But he's 6-under after round one and in second place. Victor Perez. 9-under after round one in leading, okay? Dustin Johnson, 4-under, tied for third at LIV this week. Now, this course down in Mexico is not the Masters, but still, to turn it around like that, I don't know. I don't know what the truth is about the whole thing. I enjoyed the LIV golf events I went to.
Yeah. People I've talked to that have gone, and
it's fun.
Mostly the ones here in Dallas when they had the team championship, everybody seemed to have a great time. They're like, man, it's fun. It's a party. They're having a good
time. It's a party.
So people
that's old Byron Nelson. Remember, it was a party when people would go there. Yeah. That's what they want.
People did not dislike it. So there's something there. What I don't think LIV figured out, and I think they missed, is the team thing. I don't think people care about the team.
I don't. That's just, it isn't even a team. It's just taking four people and putting their scores together and seeing who.
Yeah, I know they're trying to figure out a different way, and that might be kind of a clever run.
Well, the match play.
I think
play,
they gave it a shot, and I think they need to abandon that.
It's got
to
be match play or abandon
give
it.
Give up the team. I don't care who Bryson's teammates are. Matter of fact, I don't even know whose teammates are, right? It's just another way to funnel money to them. And I go, okay, I get it as a player, right? You win a tournament, you win $4 million. If your team wins, you win like another million and a half per player.
I don't think it's huge right now with these elevated events that we have on the PGA Tour, it's sustainable.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's sustainable. They've squeezed the ever-loving hell out of the sponsors. They really have.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying about, you know, when I was at Colonial, the word there is that the PGA Tour wants to squeeze down the total tournaments. What do we have now, Frank? Roughly about 42 tournaments.
Yeah, it's too many. It's too many at the level they're playing at. And how do you play those? I didn't mean to interrupt you, but sorry. But, you know, I get fired up about this. How do you play that many back-to-back elevated events? How do you do that?
Yeah.
You can't. It's going to wear you out. And the way they put the tour together right now, it's a mess. They've got to clean it up, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to get rid of these things.
That the PGA is saying that they want 28 tournaments in the future. That's what they want to cut it down to, 28. So you're going to eliminate those back end tournaments that maybe the Zurich, you know, the player, the team thing. That you look at some of the tournaments that not too many guys go to, not too many play. Those are the ones on the back.
Well, there's a spot for LIV there.
Might totally get eliminated.
There's a spot for LIV.
Have those, and what they're going to do is say, okay, the Schwab, which right now Schwab Colonial is not an elevated.
No.
But you will be, right? If you get $20 million from Schwab, suddenly you're going to be elevated too. And they're going to try to elevate from, what are we at now, Frank? Eight? Something like that? Eight elevated tournaments?
Yeah. Something like that.
They're going to try it from eight to almost 20 and see, okay, can we double that, more than double that?
So we're going to have $20 million purses every week. That's not sustainable.
Yeah.
Well, you can't, there are not that many companies that are willing to throw away that kind of money. I say throw away, to throw out that kind of money for an event. And here's the other thing about LIV and PGA Tour. I wanted to make the point I was thinking of a minute ago. We talk about people go to the LIV event. It's fun. It's a party. If you pander only to the golf purists, okay, you're not going to make any money and you're not going to have any sponsors. You have to go after the people who want to go out there and have social entertainment. The tour has gotten better and better and better about that over the years. Before, they really weren't. It was a very elitist PGA Tour, and it was.
To Mickelson's point, that they were what, greedy, selfish. I mean, he had a bunch of adjectives for the PGA Tour.
Yes, he did.
Which was true, because you couldn't deny it. You're sitting there going, okay.
Well, we were part of that, remember, and we know. Yep. We were on the inside for a long time. We still but
well, because they didn't do anything differently. They're just like, let's not rock the boat. We're all making good money. Let's just play golf. Let's play the game the way it's supposed to be played, and we want the rules to be the same as Bobby Jones played, all that kind of stuff.
You really want to hear what I really think about that? Okay, yeah. I've got one more thing. PGA Tour Radio, okay? PGA Tour Radio. They're still using the same freaking bumpers they've used for the past 12, 14 years.
Yeah.
Bumpers, if our people know, they're in and out, intros, outros, when you come into a segment, go out of a segment.
Same
the same music,
same,
you know, Untouchables. Don, 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 yeah. don, don, yeah. You know, I mean, the same crap. Come on, change it up.
There's no ingenuity to go into it. And by the way, what is probably off the top of your head, aside from a major, what's the most successful tournament on the PGA Tour?
Players Championship.
Okay, aside from that.
Regular
event.
Well, the most
which one gets all the attention for being
Pebble.
Unbelievably successful?
Anything at Pebble Beach.
Phoenix.
Oh, Phoenix. Are you talking about the party?
Yes.
Well, hell
everybody
yes.
loves to go. They got to turn people away, right? That's what I'm saying.
And, well, you know why?
In the PGA Tour.
You know why? It's because PXG's there.
Okay,
that's why
you had to
my sponsor
pull other tournaments into thinking. Okay, this is a way to do a tournament. And old school was I don't know about that.
We don't like
crazy.
It. Well, the
you
tour
is hole in ones. They're throwing water bottles on there. Oh, we can't. God forbid we can't.
That was hilarious. But they had to stop that kind of because somebody might get hurt.
And yet, that's how crazy and successful that tournament is. So maybe there's a blueprint for saying if you want to not have Frank and Tim be your average 70-year-old-ish guy going to a tournament who doesn't want it.
We don't.
He wants it the same. And you want it to be guys that are 22 and 24 and 28, 30, and women that are, then you're going to have that kind of a
You and I go out there and
facility
party.
And
you
that kind of an announcement.
We're not our age. We go out there and have a blast with everybody. We always have. I mean, it's a party. I'm thinking of a great venue now for a tournament. To elevate the tournament to the point of more entertainment. Okay, you got in Phoenix. We can take it a step further. We can have pole dancing up in the chalets. Let's just get a strip club on the golf course, for God's sake.
Might be coming.
You never know.
Okay. You're making
I'm probably going to lose my sponsor now.
But the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Basketball team?
Are you kidding?
Recently was having a stripper night.
Are you kidding?
A big night. There's a strip club in Atlanta called, I'm going to make it up, but it's
Gold Club, Platinum Plus.
Something like that, right?
Something like that. Pure Platinum.
They were the sponsor of a big
Never
night
been.
Game. Because they had to finally cancel it because some people were pushing back. They were going to have a whole night of an NBA game sponsored by a strip club.
I love it.
Right?
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go.
I can't go to church Sunday now after saying that.
So that's where some people are going as far as how to entertain, how to get people.
Well, that's a little over the top.
How do you get your money from Schwab and other sponsors at $20 million? Well, you got to make it some way, and you're going to do gambling. Let's be honest.
Gambling is dangerous.
We're going to get into that much more, so you can bet on the golf. You can bet on a hole-by-hole basis. Of who's going to get closest to the that's what guys in the stands, to be honest. My nephew, he would eat that up on his phone sitting there by a par three, and every group that comes through, he can bet $100 on who's closest to the pin. He would be there all day doing it.
That's
what they're going to do. That's how you make your money back. It's not because you're going to do the same thing that they've always done, just get more money from sponsors. They're going to have to get creative and figure out how to maneuver.
Well, backing up to LIV Golf this week. Sergio Garcia is tied for 51st at 4 over par.
Has he torn up any tee markers?
He apologized for that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shouldn't he?
He didn't apologize until he was forced to. Okay.
He broke his driver.
I know he did. He's an idiot.
Who does that on the second hole of a major?
You don't. I mean.
That is a guy with some problems. What's going on with Sergio?
I don't know. But
you break your driver. Of all places in the Masters, I'm surprised they didn't. Come on the third hole and say, sir, we're going to have to escort you off.
They could have executed him right there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At the Masters,
they don't play.
You're going to break your driver over, by the way, a ball that landed in the fairway.
Yes.
It was like he shanked it into a lake or something.
Yeah.
It rolled through into the bunker. I get it, but it wasn't a bad drive. And that got him that mad.
To further my point, tied for 29th is Bryson DeChambeau at even par. Okay. Yeah. So you have.
He must have got a lot of bunkers.
Well, that's rude. That's rude. Danny Lee is 7 over, and he is at the bottom of the pile outside of Phil, who withdrew. Phil has some stuff going on.
They're playing in Mexico City, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The last time the PGA Tour champions went to Mexico City, several of the players went out to a restaurant, and they got robbed. They stole their wallets and Rolexes. I'm telling you.
That's another thing people have said is that the LIV guys are not playing on the top level of golf courses, and that affects them too when they come to the Masters or different majors.
Well, that's true.
That they're
and the travel. And the travel, because they were halfway around the world and had to come back.
And that's part of it. Yeah. And that's part of it. That's what Koepka said is big part of his reason was young family. I don't want to be around the world all the time. Well, that's kind of what you bought into because that is what LIV is LIV is playing in the Middle East, in Asia, in
Australia,
South America, in Africa.
Biggest event is Australia. Biggest event they have.
Yeah. So it's not, it is a lot of travel. It's a tough, but you know, again, that's what they're into.
We're going to start a movement. Bring back Greg. Bring back Greg.
Yeah, you start that. You start that.
I will. I like Greg. He's a friend.
A friend of mine who did some marketing for the LIV tournament, the team event here at Merido in Dallas, spoke out to with David Faraday, big announcer for LIV Golf. And Faraday asked what was going on. And Faraday said, basically, whoever the fastest typer is, got the headline, meaning that story was very premature. It's just the people that wanted to negatively.
Oh, no, it was pushed out as 99.9% true. I won't say the name of the golf writer that did it.
And so Faraday says everything's fine, is my point. Faraday says everything is. And so that's what he's getting. Now he's an employee, right? He's not management. Right. But he's being told, and his belief is we're all fine and good. That was just people trying to get ahead of a story, and they jumped the gun and put some negative stuff out there that had nothing to do with anything.
Yep.
That's what he said.
That's exactly what happened. When I saw that, I went, wait a minute. Wait, he said it's 99.9% done.
Yeah.
And I went, well, that 0.1% busted your butt, pal.
It really did. Out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wasn't done. So I think they were going to shut it. I really believe they were saying, you know, let's just shut this down, cut our losses, get out of this thing.
There probably are voices in the room that would say that, I imagine. I'm sure there's others that are saying no. I mean, we're into this for the long haul, but at other points.
They're at war right now, too. I mean, there's a lot of money going to, and they're spending a lot of money with us. They're covering some of our cost, it looks like, for the war. Yeah. So there's a lot going on in Saudi Arabia and UAE. So whatever, whatever it is, the LIV Golf deal didn't take off like they thought it would. And even by going out and getting those players, I think it was almost a backfire to paying those players that much money. And then people resented it. But every event I've been to, it's been packed and crowded for LIV. They've sold out tickets. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
Here's a statement from LIV. Okay. When it came out officially.
CEO.
Yeah. The 2026 to 30 strategy, that period up to 30, marks a natural evolution as PIF, right, the investment firm, moves from a period of rapid growth and acceleration to a new phase of sustained value creation and a strengthened focus on maximizing impact, raising the efficiency of investment, and applying the highest standards of governance, transparency, and institutional excellence. Now, that's a lot of gibberish.
That's a lot of attorney talk.
It's basically saying, and I think it gave people a little pause to say, okay, so the natural evolution of rapid growth, spending billions and billions and billions to get these players, now we want strength and focus on maximizing an impact and raising efficient. Okay, so that's where people got, okay, so you're backing off. Now you want it to show some return.
Yeah.
Right?
Who doesn't?
And that does make people kind of go, okay, well, are we showing any return? And people are going in the room, no, we're still bleeding money. And I could see where people in the
room. Well, I guarantee you, with the investors in the PGA Tour now, PGA Tour Enterprises, that same meeting's going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Where's that billion or 3 billion or whatever we put in?
Well, by the way, your buddy Yasser did make a comment that, of course, the war in Iran, the war has added more pressure to the repositioning of our priorities.
Yes.
And there's another cautious comment that would make people go,
I agree with that.
What's he saying there? Okay, so now do we have to pause because right in our backyard, Saudi Arabia. We've got a war going on and we're getting missiles. And we got to worry about that kind of, is that going to take away? So yeah, I don't know. Now, I don't know what else PIF is doing. Like I said, soccer and all kinds of other things.
Formula One's is huge.
Maybe they're doing the same kind of cautionary things for everything.
Have you gone to a Formula One event? I mean, I know you have because you're a big-time sports guy.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as TV, CBS. Have you ever paid for a ticket to go to one?
No.
You have no idea how much they are?
I do know. It's very expensive.
It's crazy expensive.
Yeah.
The one in Nashville, I said, wow, this is going to be great. Let's go. $600 to sit in a bleacher and watch.
Yeah, barely see.
Now what are you going to do? What are you going to pay $30 per drink? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
It was like, what?
Yep.
Maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know, but I'd rather spend my money on something more fun.
Maybe, but Formula One's very, very popular.
Well, to go, to be invited, I was invited to a box, which we ended up doing it, but I didn't have to pay for anything. It was great. But to even be in a box is $10,000, just like the PGA Tour. If you want to be in the clubhouse for the Players' Championship, that ticket's going to cost you 10, 12 grand.
Yeah.
So how many people really in this world can afford to do that? There's not a big number of people who can.
I say that too, but here's what I'm thinking.
But right? You still see it happen, don't you?
Is the World Cup is coming, right? It's coming in North America.
Yeah.
So it's going to be in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Kiki ball.
Right?
I don't care.
We don't care as Americans that much about World Cup soccer.
No.
We don't. We know it's a moneymaker, and we know that the world will come. Blah, blah, blah. You put it anywhere. And the tickets for those games are unbelievably expensive.
Yeah.
To the point where FIFA CEOs and all the big dogs had to back off from some of the pricing that first came out when they were first putting tickets out there for World Cup, because people are going, you got to be kidding me, for an early round match between who gives a crap and who gives a crap too. You're telling me I got to pay $2,500 a ticket for that crappy first round game? Yeah, that's what. And they had to back off from that.
Oh,
so
God.
My point to all that is the dollars I think are out there, Frank. As much as you and I might go, that's ridiculous to pay that to go to a golf tournament, to go to a Formula One race, to do anything else. Apparently, people in the world. I just read a story. A guy in England sold property, had a second house or something. He sold it so he could get tickets. That's how much tickets were. Sold property so he'd get tickets to come to America to watch his English national team play in the World Cup.
That's the intellectual property of a mongoose. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's just like, here's my other beef. Okay, if we're going to have beef.
Somebody will do it.
I was talking to a friend who was here in Nashville who was looking to join a different country club in Nashville. And the price tag on it was like $65,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, that's not expensive. That's just not that expensive for a country club anymore, for a high-end country club. I said, so it's a stock certificate, right? You'll have ownership. You can sell the membership. Oh, no, it's just an initiation fee of $65,000 and then whatever it is a month, which is a big number. And I said, well, you're telling me you're going to take $65,000 when you're a member of a perfectly great country club right now, which is where I'm a member. But this other club is down, say he was, whatever, 65 grand. I said, you're going to just say I'm going to burn 65,000 just so I can hang out there.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. Yeah. Pardon my French. I told him, that's what I said to him. I said, why don't you take that 65 grand and go invest it in something that'll make money for you instead of burning it?
Well, that's the point. I think there are people that will spend.
But I've gotten very conservative. I used to be just spend it, man. I went and bought a 40-foot boat one time on a whim, the stupidest thing I've ever done. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
But people still do that. So I don't think that the powers that be and all these organizations we're talking about, why it's ridiculous and how expensive, blah, blah, blah. I don't think any of them are backing off because they're saying there are guys out there just like the guy you just talked about.
Yeah.
The reason we can charge this for our country club is because there's guys like that
they'll are pay it.
Stock so they can join the country
they'll
club.
They'll pay it.
Why am I going to back off my prices? I'm not going to. So there it is. I don't know.
We're probably boring the listeners with all this, but I've gotten very conservative. And my old, I want to leave something to the kids, you know. I don't want to spend it all right now. Not all, a little bit. Well, maybe.
Frank, you have trouble buying a double latte right now. You've gotten very conservative.
I really am. I mean, but I'll go buy Glenn Levitt by the case.
See, priorities.
Well, it's a health drink.
Priorities. There you go. There you go.
It's a health drink. Right. And anyway, so the Masters was great. The coverage of the Masters is going to be this. The only person on the LIV Tour that did anything was Tyrrell Hatton.
Yeah.
And so he was 10 under 2 back. He
finished up pretty good.
Yeah, finished up, I guess, tied for third.
And I don't know. Yeah. And my gut is I don't know that LIV can be an excuse why guys don't play well. That didn't – playing in the LIV tournament didn't make Rom play as badly as he did. Didn't make Bryson not be able to take 3 shots to get out of a bunker on 11. You know,
it's not LIV
that's causing that. I think it's just coincidental that – I mean, a lot of guys play badly, right? There are a lot of guys that weren't playing in LIV that
played badly.
Didn't do nearly as well as they were supposed to do. So even Scotty. I mean, Scotty – finished okay, but he sure didn't play his A game, right, for 4 rounds. So
yeah, but he sure did put the scare of God in McIlroy.
There were
5 shots in that round. There were 5 shots. Five shots that cost him. 5. That's it. He could have been 16 under.
Guys on local radio here this morning did a whole thing on Jim Nantz's funeral parlor. And they're funny as hell in the morning anyway. They do the show. And they did Nance's voice about
hello friends.
Well, hello friends. Sorry about your loss, but we're getting into this whole voice of because that's what he is. He's like a funeral director trying to appease the sadness of a funeral home with his calming voice.
And he's having to deal with Kisner. Smiley and Kisner and all those guys.
No.
Oh my Lord.
No, he doesn't have those guys. Those guys are NBC.
Well, yeah, but he deals with them at different tournaments and things.
Well, okay.
Yeah, not on the air. I mean, but seeing Jim around those guys is just hilarious. But
oh God, it's just it's,
but he has Immelman beside him, so you know Trevor's very conservative.
Oh yeah, I know. But Nance just gets softer and softer every year, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's great though. He's a great guy. I like him. You were a CBS guy for 100 years, man.
I don't dislike him, but I'm just saying that at some point it gets and when it's Masters, he's even more. Funeral director. He gets away. Regular tour events, he can go.
This show's going to get us in trouble.
But he gets in the Masters, and oh my God, he sits with his knees together, and he calmly talks about it. And you're like, okay, Jim, geez. It's just a golf tournament at some point, isn't it?
I want to see Jim
okay, I'm done.
In Scottsdale at Phoenix. Let Jim do the Phoenix
Open. Good luck on that one.
Would that be hilarious?
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends.
The water bottles are flying out of the stands. I want to give a shout out, by the way, to Bernhard Langer. You know why? The Senior PGA Championship we're talking about in Bradenton.
Yes.
Bernhard shot two strokes under his age. The 68-year-old shot an opening round 66 at the Senior PGA Championship. Congratulations, Bernhard. That guy keeps doing it at 68. He shot a 66.
Right?
Tied with Steve Allen,
he did.
Brian Gay,
yeah, he
and Miguel Jimenez for the lead. So there you go. Paul Stankowski won over. Didn't do great.
Well, Brian Gay was in the lead, but now it's all changed. But they're all out on the course, and people are – he's not on the course yet. Oh, he's. Yeah. I'm sorry. Brian is on the course. He's through 2 right now.
Is he?
So
there you go. So anyway,
at even par.
Championship.
But Brian's a good dude, and I love his caddy. You know, Kip Henley is a friend of ours and a good guy. A lot of fun to be around. But Stankowski, where is Stankowski now? He was 2 under. Then I saw him go to 1 under and not.
Well, he started the day 1 over. So I don't know.
Yeah.
He got to 2 under. He got a few birdies. Okay. I don't know.
Well, I don't know where he ended, though, because I don't.
He finished at 1 over. The round
1 over?
Okay. 1 over, yeah.
Well, so Stanky's got to do better.
He was back a little bit. But, and then you may be going to the tradition coming up?
Regent's Tradition in Birmingham. Be down there for the Champions Tour event. I'll just get inside the ropes and just harass Stanky.
Sure.
I'll just say, can you not play better?
How can you keep missing putts?
How do you miss that?
What's wrong with you?
Oh, God. Is Harrison's going to be in that too, isn't he?
At the Traditions?
Yeah.
I think so, but that's a major as well, is it not?
It is. It's 4 rounds. It's a major.
These guys have, and we're talking about Paul Stankowski and Harrison Frazier, two guys that we have on the show quite a bit, have not full status, you know, and it's always complicated how you explain how people either PGA Tour or PGA Tour champions.
It is complicated, yeah.
If you don't have full status, it means you get into most of the tournaments, you don't get in all of them, and I don't think that Harrison
got into it.
I don't know that he's in this tournament. So he may not be, he might not be playing this week, but Stankowski is. Yeah. So you just have, and their status again, being kind of partial status, if you will, they have to get, some people have to drop out. You're an alternate, you get a sponsors again. They get into tournaments in different ways. Some of the guys, if you're the top guys, if you're longer than those, you get in every tournament you want. You know, they're kind of the Scotty Schefflers of the
championship. Bernhard is, you know, everything. He's won everything in the world. I mean,
yes, he has. So.
Tom Pernice ended up 3-under, by the way, too, yesterday. So that was, he was all over the place for a while. He couldn't putt. Tom Pernice, of course, is from here, and his daughter, who's wonderful, Vince Gill, was taught her how to do some things in music. She's blind, but what a sweetheart of a person. We had her on our local show here.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Several years ago. And Vince came in, and they sang a song together, and everybody was crying. We had to go to, it was about her dad. And we had to go to break. I mean, we're like, oh my God. It was brutal. Yeah. Anyway, I'm way off the rails.
Yes, you are. Always.
Way off the rails. But, as always. Hard to keep me on a leash.
Side note, when I said Bernhard Langer, it's just to put it in perspective, Ben Crane also opened with a good first round.
He did.
At the PGA Tour Champions. And he just turned, like as a month ago, turned 50. So he's just in now under the ropes to get into the Champions Tour. He's 50. Bernhard is 18 years older than him.
Yes.
And playing every bit as good. Isn't that crazy how good he is?
Well,
Langer's 70 years old.
Langer's a health nut, too. I mean, he's kind of like a Gary Player.
No, but I don't know how you explain that. I mean, he's playing against guys.
Good genes. That are,
yes. I mean, they're 50 years old. They're 51, 52, 53. He's almost 70.
How old's Retief Goosen?
I don't know how old Retief is. I'm going to say he's 60.
I think he's older than that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's older? I think so. I'll have to look it up and see.
All right, let's get out of here. We're done.
Are we done?
So that's where we're at on Live Tour. We capped everything.
We just killed it. We didn't really do a Masters recap on this show, but there's not much to recap. You know, yeah. Rory won, second green jacket. Took him 17 years to win his first.
Yeah.
But he won two.
He's got a couple of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a pretty
people
cool
are talking about him winning 10 majors. He could do it. I mean,
he's tied with Trevino now with six.
He's got six. Right? And Faldo.
Faldo's got six. But it is Sir Nick Faldo. And
does Arnie have six or seven? Arnie's right around there.
Yeah,
there's a few guys that have six. Gosh, seven.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, Player, Hogan have nine. I think Watson has seven or eight. So these are in that category. So that's we're talking some all timers now. So
well, lifetime Grand Slam is a big deal. I mean, that's just a big deal. Period.
Yep, 35 years old. He could win. I mean, look how good. And I was pulling for Justin Rose. I like Justin Rose.
I really like him, too.
He's got 10 years on Rory.
And Fuchs is such a great guy, too. His caddy is great.
Yeah, Rory might have 40 more majors to play. Well, he could win a few of them, right?
Yeah, sure he could.
45 even, so yeah.
The way he's playing, sure he could. Just stay out of the politics and stay on the golf course.
Hey, I want to remind everybody to check out Invited Clubs. Go to invitedclubs.com. Frank's a member of one in Nashville. I'm a member of Invited Club here in Dallas at Prestonwood. And you could be, too, all over the country. They have the greatest clubs, and they're always making improvements, fixing up the things, not just the golf courses and the bunkers and all that, but the clubhouse and the locker rooms and facilities, pickleball courts, you name it. Mm-hmm. It's all because Invited Clubs is very committed to making the very best club experience that you could ever have. Again, go to invitedclubs.com for more.
And also thanks to PXG for being my sponsor at Augusta this past year at the Masters. They're there with us every year, and we really enjoy it and appreciate them as a great sponsor, a lot of great apparel. They sent me great wardrobe for this year. It was beautiful stuff. So check out the PXG apparel. Also, PXG has done something, by the way, very different. You can now go to a PGA Tour superstore and get fitted with PXG fitting and PXG clubs. Hmm. That's a first. They've just done that, just announced it. So, that's pretty cool. You can go now. So before you had to go to a specialized fitter, or a PXG store that was not maybe in your city. But now you can go to any PXG superstore. I'd say any. I think that's what they've done. And get fitted there. So that's pretty cool.
There you go.
Okay. I'm still going to go to my fitter. I like him. but that's beside the point. Anyway, have a great weekend, Tim.
Yep.
Have fun.
Yep.
Play golf
again. Yep.
Go back out to Colonial.
We'll be can't wait to get back. So we will keep you updated next week. We'll update you on what happened at the both the RBC Heritage as well as the Senior PGA Championship, as well as Mexico City's Live Golf event.
Yeah.
A lot of golf being played, and we'll talk about it on next week's show. So be sure to tell all your friends. wherever you get your podcast, to check out Golf Talk America to listen to the greatest golf talk show in America.
Period.
For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening. And remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.